Welcome live into the Sports Flood. Happy Saturday. Welcome back in. I told you we'd come back in. Guess what? It is April 1, but it's not the fool's day that Twitter tried to make it out to be, or your Facebook feed's going to try to make it out to be today. Nope, it's real. It's back. It's legit. And the Sports Flood returns to your ears and radio airwaves right now. We are live. Blessed to be live here on the radio network known as Ump Sports, The Ump. Big announcement coming up in just a little bit about the show. You want to know about the new format? That rule will happen coming up in the next break. Because we got too much to talk about. Too much to talk about. Let's go ahead and start. You and I shall start today by talking about women's basketball. Yes, the day has come. The day has come where you will listen to me talk about women's basketball for the next 9 minutes. Because last night was a basketball game for the ages, filled with drama, intrigue, terrific play, David versus Goliath, and yes, even almost a screw job in the same game. Speaking, of course, of Mississippi State and UConn last night on the ESPN2. Last night was game two of the women's Final Four. You could also hear it on the Ump last night, which I was listening to coming back, where UConn, when I found out and I got back into the car after performing a comedy set yesterday, UConn was down 36-28 at the half. And I had to do some research thinking, oh, well, what happened? UConn doesn't trail by a lot. Turns out they trail by as many as 16 in the second quarter. UConn goes on a 12-0 run to get it back to 4, and then it gets that back out to 8 before the second half. And then that's when I finally get home. At the end of the half, and the end of halftime, I'm in. It's late night. It's after 10 o'clock. What better am I going to do than to watch UConn try to come back and keep their 111-game winning streak going? So, yeah, I turned it on the TV, and I listened to the radio because the radio call is much more fun. And I watched UConn basically come back immediately, felt immediate. And then for the next quarter and a half, it was back and forth basketball, and it was a great game, an amazing game. And for the first time this women's tournament, and maybe only the second time this entire postseason, you can say at the end of that game, there was a legitimately really bad basketball call by the officials. This was akin to Gonzaga going through the basket for the goaltending that never was. Late in the game, Mississippi State driving. Shot up, for UConn, I should say, shot up. Ball goes away. Ball goes out of bounds. Take it to Mississippi State. But there was a flagrant one foul called on State. Flagrant one, thanks to a flop. And by the way, maybe more egregious than all of that, was a flagrant one called nearly 30 seconds after the fact, like 30 game seconds, which means darn near a minute and a half. Went back and reviewed that. UConn was down 2 at the time. They get the 2 free throws with 26 seconds to go. They make them both. They get possession. And it looks like UConn is set up to steal the semifinal game away from Mississippi State. And maybe, just maybe, the officials steal that game away from Mississippi State. Yet, this Mississippi State team, who had lost by 60 1 year and 5 days before to the same UConn team in the NCAA tournament Sweet 16, which worked so hard to get back to this moment, to get to this moment where there was representation equally as far as the play. Mississippi State played on the same level as UConn. The vaunted 111-game winning streak, UConn. They had the number 60 up all year and all offseason, hoping to get back to this moment. Had it up in their locker room. Motivation to lose by 60 in the Sweet 16? 98-38? This was their moment, and it looked like the refs had given the game to UConn, and a game that had gotten to overtime. And you know what happened? An exhausted UConn shot the ball with 12 seconds to go, misses. Mississippi State gets the ball, and now they come back the other way. They come back the other way, and the tiniest girl on the court, the tiniest player that Vic Schaefer has, took possession, as she did basically every possession that game, and held it, and held it, and held it, until about 2.5 seconds to go, where she made her drive through the lane, puts up a floater at the buzzer. The Giant had been slain. Morgan Williams of Shades Valley High School, right there in Birmingham, Alabama, had slayed the Connecticut Huskies. And you know what? The world was great. Because Dak Prescott was in attendance watching that game. The game was in Dallas, by the way. Watching that game from near court side, about 2.5 rows up, screaming his tail off every single moment he could. Wearing a number 15 basketball jersey of Mississippi State. Representing his alma mater well. ESPN2 showed him about every other possession. And in overtime, in the last few minutes of the regulation, showed him every possession. But that's okay. That's the guy. That's in Dallas. And this great story ended on social media with me for a solid hour seeing everyone. And I do mean everyone that I know that talks about sports, that enjoys sports, commenting on this game. Commenting, UConn, they're down. They're down 6 with 3 minutes to go. They're down 4 with 2 minutes to go. Oh, it's tied. Is UConn going to get this? Oh, don't do this, refs. Don't go back and review this call and give them a flagrant one now. Everyone was talking about this game. Everyone was enjoying not only Mississippi State of the SEC, trying to make it an all-SEC final with South Carolina, who had won the game before, but everyone was enjoying that the Giant may fall. And it was tremendous to see. Because everyone who says women's basketball is boring, UConn being undefeated and winning all these games in a row is bad for the sport, everyone was watching them. And as much as the bad guy that was UConn or the bad girls that was UConn, as bad as they were for the sport to watch, if UConn was 32-4, how many of those same guys are watching the vaunted UConn go down? And Mississippi State's a great team. They're 33-4. Now, they were a great team last year. They were a great team last year, even though they lost by 60 to UConn. But if Morgan Williams doesn't have this team close the whole game, leading by as many as 16 early in it, and UConn doesn't have this tremendous winning streak on the line, as bad as it is for the sports, we're watching. Everyone loves the idea of David versus Goliath. Everyone. And UConn clearly was Goliath. And if you want just pure parody like you do in men's college basketball, you won't get as many people to watch. But the fact there was a 111-game winning streak on the line, and Mississippi State had led them by so many early in the game and by 8 at the half, it was tied for the first time during the streak in the start of the fourth quarter. That did not happen to have it tied to start the fourth quarter. And by the way, some of you may not know this until last night. They have quarters now in women's basketball, which maybe the men's era should maybe take a gander at. As much good as was on that court, and I just described it to you, there was one bad. And it's not any of the players. It's definitely not even the officials who made one really horrendous call. It's on ESPN. It's on ESPN because ESPN was not airing this game. ESPN2 was. And every one of you listening knows how big of a deal ESPN is over ESPN2. Even though we will go find our teams playing games on ESPN2. But ESPN is the main channel. ESPN is the reason they put the National Football League's playoff game on ESPN. It's the reason all of their major studio programming is on ESPN. Because more people go to the one than to the two, just out of pure habit. And you know what you were airing last night? You were airing Houston Golden State. You were airing an NBA regular season game with 2 weeks left in the season over the women's Final Four. And this isn't a women's liberation movement discussion I'm even going with. This is you pay a lot of money to have the NCAA championship events, or at least most of them. You pay a lot of money for lacrosse and softball and hockey. You pay a lot of money. And the women's tournament is one of your big draws. And I noticed even in the last couple weeks, ESPN, while ESPN2 was playing games, ESPN wasn't playing games. But this is an entirely different situation. There are three games left in the women's basketball season going into last night. Your two Final Fours, and then your championship on Sunday afternoon. That's it. And one of your games, for the record, you probably would have assumed going into this, would have been the University of Connecticut. Because Connecticut is always pretty good. And because you paid $1 billion every LeBron James crab dribble for the NBA, you have to justify it by putting it on ESPN. But the game of the night and the sport that should get your attention right now, because it is the championships, as in we're almost there, was on ESPN2. The bell cow of ESPN women basketball coverage is not Mississippi State or South Carolina or Stanford. It's UConn, people. And they have them on ESPN, too. And they pay a lot of money to have them on ESPN, too. The lacrosse championships find themselves on ESPN. You can't give me the women's Final Four on ESPN? You can't spotlight the Final Four. It's your product. Soccer games that a lot of people in this country do not care about find themselves on ESPN. Bowling on Sundays finds itself on ESPN. The Women's Final Four, which featured one of the best basketball games of the entire season, men or women, with all of the drama and all of the appeal of any other sport, and even more so when you consider a 111-game winning streak and you put it on ESPN2. For shame. For shame. You easily could have put Houston Golden State on ESPN2. Easily. And people who cared about that game, which are not three or four, there's a lot. But when you pay so much to broadcast the entire women's basketball tournament and you put off the Final Four onto your number two channel as if it's some programming you just have to technically air and get it over with and clear it on your channel? For shame, my friends. For shame. That is disgusting. And a lot of people missed watching live that game. Because you were too stubborn to let NBA take a minute to the side for the women's Final Four. Please. 866-485-9867 if you would like to get in. Speaking of Final Fours, the men's Final Four starts today on the Ump. You can hear it cover starting at 2:30. A little after 3:30 is when tip of game number one is, which is South Carolina and Gonzaga, followed by Oregon and then North Carolina. And then on Sunday, you will hear the Women's National Championship. And Monday is a full day of action. You'll have the Cube Show, followed by Braves Baseball opening day against the Mets. Then you'll have the Tom Abraham Show, and then you'll have the Men's National Championship. So a full day, a full weekend of action really coming up over the next few days. Going to take a quick timeout when we come back. A visitor to Tuscaloosa, a prominent one, was denied service not by a restaurant, but by patrons, and pretty influential patrons at that. Coming up next, Sports Flood. Back here live in the studios, the Ump Sports Studios. Follow the Ump on Twitter at Sports. You can follow the show on Twitter as well at The Sports Flood. And myself, of course, keep saying of course, because it's pretty simple. Arky Shea. Nothing complicated about the names there. Okay, so maybe not everyone's welcome everywhere. And that's the case in Tuscaloosa, where not everyone is welcome inside the city limits. Who wouldn't be welcome into there? I would think guys like, maybe Tommy Tuberville, who beat him a bunch of times as a coach. Maybe, although Bo Jackson's kind of more of a beloved figure now, and it's been a long time. You can add Deshaun Watson to that list, by the way. Because yesterday, Deshaun Watson was denied service at the local Innisfree Irish pub. But not by Innisfree Irish pub. No. In fact, Deshaun Watson, who was in town on his way back to his home in Clemson after a great season and, of course, being able to win the national championship. It was over Alabama. Found themselves in Innisfree just trying to have a little bit of lunch yesterday. And, well, it doesn't go that easy in Tuscaloosa. Now, a couple of patrons came up to Mr. Watson and said, "You've got to go. You've got to get out of here." Immediately, this happened. And what rude patrons they are. Except for those patrons are former Alabama players. Ryan Anderson and Wallace Gilberry. They go to Deshaun Watson, who was sitting at the table at the time, before he gets his order in, and says, "You've got to go. You have got to leave. This is not for you." It's wild, man, isn't it? And Deshaun Watson leaves. Because Deshaun Watson is not an idiot. There is a McDonald's down the road if he would like. But Deshaun Watson, well, Deshaun Watson knows that there's a bigger picture to have. Because Deshaun is going to be drafted in the NFL later this month. He may end up being a first-round pick. Deshaun Watson only wanted lunch. And somehow, by bullying and being a bad, bad, bad sport, Ryan Anderson and Mr. Gilberry convinced him to leave. And Deshaun Watson says, "You know what? That's fair. Whatever." I mean, the look on his face, because there's video of this. The look on his face is of confusion, but he's not chirping back. If Deshaun Watson really wanted food there, he could have gotten food there. But do you think that's an incident he wants on his record, knowing he's less than a month from having his dreams realized as a college football quarterback and just as a human being to make a whole lot of money? Yeah, not quite. Now, a lot of people wonder, why is Deshaun Watson even in Tuscaloosa? What is his problem? He's not even, it's not like he's from Alabama. He's from Georgia. Well, it turns out on Thursday night, Deshaun Watson happened to have won himself an award. In fact, he became the first ever two-time winner of the Manning Award, which is given away in New Orleans. And so it stands to reason that Deshaun Watson was driving back from New Orleans from his award to go back to possibly his hometown of Gainesville, Georgia, possibly back to Clemson, or really, who knows at this point. But you know what? That's fair. That's fair of a young man if he wants to have some lunch to stop in Tuscaloosa. You know, he's never played in Tuscaloosa. He played in Auburn last year, but he never played in Tuscaloosa. And it is the team he just defeated 2.5 months ago. So maybe, just maybe, also Deshaun Watson would just like to check out campus in 2017 and see what it looks like. Just driving through, making a pit stop. A lot of people making discussions on the boards about, what's he doing there anyway? Come on, man, you know that's enemy territory. There's no such thing in the United States. All right? Especially when you're no longer the quarterback of a certain place. And yeah, hard feelings because he did beat Alabama. There's video of people legitimately in that restaurant saying, "You got to wrap up what you got, Deshaun, and get out." But there's also video of people saying, "That's rude. That is just rude." And it is. Who are Ryan Anderson and Wallace Gilberry to say, "You've got to leave this restaurant"? Perhaps, I'll have a little bit more leniency toward those fellas if they see Deshaun Watson standing next to Nick Saban's statue in front of Bryant Denny. if he's perusing about the Walk of Champions and takes a slight ride over to see Bear Bryant's statue, maybe then I start thinking, okay, maybe a little bit that Ryan Anderson would have a case here. But not in another place restaurant. And that's why this was put on the Facebook page of Venice Free yesterday. We said, unfortunately, a customer attempted to invoke the right to refuse service on our behalf. Seriously. He tried to refuse service on the restaurant's behalf. Can't play that game, bro. That's not your service to refuse. Representing the A. Representing the Crimson. Shut up. They go on to say, and after being identified, they were immediately asked to leave the premises following the incident. So how about that? Ryan Anderson and Wallace Gilberry, justice done. After you tried to and successfully kicked out Deshaun Watson and his friends from trying to have a little bit of lunch in Tuscaloosa, a harmless lunch on a Friday afternoon, costing not only him any nice feelings towards the city, but also costing Innisfree some local tourism dollars. That's right. Few shekels didn't go their way. Innisfree went to Ryan Anderson and Mr. Gilbert and said, you've got to go. Wrap that up, Ryan. You got to go. That's not how we do things here. They go on to say, we apologize for any inconvenience this incident caused to our customers. We appreciate anyone that chooses to visit our establishment and hope to continue welcoming sports fans for years to come. That's sort of blasé. But the fact that Ryan Anderson, and I bet Ryan Anderson thought when he did that, not only was he protecting his city, that he was going to get a standing ovation from the fans that were there, and a standing ovation from the restaurant. Well, that didn't happen. What did Ryan Anderson want to do? Escort Deshaun Watson to the city limits and say, you got to go. Don't let me see you here. Do not let me see you in these city limits, because if you do, you ain't going to like the result. It's just the worst. Just the worst. Going to take a quick timeout. Going to come back. Coastal Carolina's had its cheerleaders suspended. You don't often hear about that, but there's a lot of ugly stories going around, including perhaps prostitution? That story next. Happy to have you aboard the Ump and the Sports Flood on a beautiful Saturday here in North Alabama. You know, I told you that there was a new format change coming to this show, and there is. Starting today, the Sports Flood will now be a one-hour show, and this was completely my decision. They don't tell me not to do the show. In fact, I was asked by management if I would do 3 hours on Saturday, to which I said, no, not even a little bit. Now, without some serious, serious co-hosts, which may happen. You never know. The year is young. We're only in April. It's April 1, baby. Let's take it to Coastal, by the way. Coastal Carolina, where the cheerleaders have been indefinitely suspended just a couple of days before they were supposed to compete in a cheerleading showcase, which, being indefinitely suspended, means they probably won't make. That's because there was an anonymous letter sent to the university president at Coastal Carolina saying that the women cheerleaders had been in a little bit of a, let's just say they'd gone rogue. They had gone rogue, saying that they had done everything from purchasing alcohol for underage team members to paying other players, paying other people to complete their homework assignments, and even prostitution. According to cheerleaders and sources, the last Wednesday night, that is when the team president, the university president came into the team practice and said they'd gotten this letter and that they were going to be indefinitely suspended. So when the school president, David DiCenzo, went to the practice and said, we need you now to go check out, let's just go to the police. You know, we need you to go check this out with the police. So apparently the cheerleaders went to the police, to which the police even said, all right. And this is campus police, by the way. All right, let us look through your cell phones. Let us look through your text messages. And apparently they said, yeah. The cheerleaders said, yes, they can do that. Odd, though, because there are no incident reports pertaining to any of this. Not any of this. Not, obviously, any investigation. Not any looking through of the cellular devices. Definitely nothing alleging any prostitution, alcohol for underage team members, or, well, I guess this wouldn't be a felony, but having other people to do their homework. So once the cheerleaders left, they went on to the athletics website and found that the cheerleading section, this is great, which had a lot of pictures of the entire team, is completely gone. In fact, if you go to that section right now, which I did, you now are directed to the school's main spirit team page. And a lot of these schools actually have that, by the way. Later on, it was confirmed that the showcase that these girls were supposed to compete in, and I guess young men, is no longer going to be on the schedule. That the Coastal Carolina Cheerleaders will not be there. That was supposed to be in beautiful Daytona Beach, by the way. A beach trip and a competition, and you don't get to... That sucks. But never fear, because there is more information coming out, and at least more opinions, including from several cheerleaders on social media and family members, like LaCole Gadsden, who is a... As she tells the WMBF News, she's, quote, as a parent of Coastal Carolina cheerleader, I would like to state that the athletic department and director treats the cheerleaders unfairly. Less than a week away from competition, and Coastal is stopping the girls from going with no valid reason? End tweet. Another tweeted, and just like that, everything you've ever worked for was just taken in a blink of an eye. One young man who was an uncle of one of the cheerleaders said he first got wind of the incident when his niece called him from the university police station Wednesday night. She sounded very angry and told him that the team had been indefinitely suspended. He says, quote, well, she was at a campus police station last night, 9:30 or 10, calling me just really, really mad. She was more mad than upset. I don't really understand that. That they had just been ripped from practice and told that they could no longer compete and were not going on to their nationals thing and were taking them to the police station. Reaching out to the athletic director, no one is saying anything from the university side. There are allegations of prostitution in this letter. Prostitution! Sure, there's the academic integrity of paying people to do your homework, but you just get kicked out of school for that. Prostitution? And who wrote this letter? Think this is a jilted cheerleader? Prostitution? Man. Things ain't what they used to be. You know, just when I went to school, cheerleaders just cheerled, you know? They were just pretty girls. and we had no guys, and they just led cheers. And to be fair, we only had like 7 of them, so it's a little bit different trying to wrangle maybe 40 or 50 of these people than 7. There's a prostitution ring going on in a college cheerleading team. Someone needs to pay these players, man. They're selling themselves. Just give them money. When we come back, speaking of money, someone's not going to be making money next weekend. His name's Tiger Woods. He has said he is not going to be at the Masters. The fallout next. Sports Flood. Live here on the Sports Flood. It was 20 years ago next weekend that Tiger Woods won the Masters by a record 12 shots and burst onto the scene and became a phenom, an absolute taskmaster in golf. And now Tiger Woods, via his website, has said he will miss this year's Masters. He says in a post, "Unfortunately, I won't be competing in this year's Masters. I did about everything I could to play, but my back rehabilitation didn't allow me the time to get tournament ready. I'm especially upset because it's a special anniversary for me that's filled with a lot of great memories. I can't believe it's been 20 years since I won my first green jacket." He won, that was his very first major, by the way, 20 years ago. Won 14 of those things. He was just 21 years old at the time. Has not played now. If he plays next year, it'll be the first time since 2015 that he played in the tournament. So this is back-to-back years he will miss the Masters. His agent, Mark Steinberg, said that he was cleared by doctors and even therapists to play, and the back spasms that he had been plagued with since February when he had gotten out of the Dubai Open back in the early February, that those spasms had subsided. He said, quote, "He was grinding pretty hard on this one because the Masters has such a special place in his heart and because it's been such a special tournament for him. He really wanted to try and be there, and knowing the course so well, the local knowledge, he figured he had a chance to play. He grinded on this up until today." Well, this week apparently was the full time he was fully playing golf since February the 3rd when he left the European Tour event in Dubai on August 3rd. He had 3 back surgeries. He's 41. Since he's come back this year, he's missed the cut at Farmers and pulled out of Dubai. He had scheduled to be in the Genesis Open, Honda, Arnold Palmer Invitational, and he's not played in any of those. 3 back surgeries. "I guess it's finally time for me to come to terms with what has happened. That we have lost the greatest golfer of our generation. He's just not going to be that guy anymore. And he's just not going to be able to be the Tiger Woods that we've all seen. He's not even going to be able to be the Vijay Singh of that time anymore. I don't know what we're going to do. There's a lot of really good young golfers now. And I have always been the one holding out hope that Tiger Woods would somehow, some way, find a way over the next 5 years to win 3 majors and tie Arnold. It's just not going to happen, is it? It's just not going to happen. And that makes me sad. Because, I mean, he was my guy. He's the guy that got me into wanting playing golf, and I hate to see him go. I don't know if he'll even compete in any more majors. I mean, to get to Jack, he's still got to even get into the tournaments. He finished next to last in his own Bahamas golf tournament. Not one that had a field of 65 great golfers. It was like 18 guys. It hurts, man. It hurt reading that yesterday. To just know that this is it. This is probably it. And I'm probably one of the last ones to probably come to that realization. But I held out hope so much because I hate seeing greatness go by so... It felt quickly, but it was about 16, 17 years that we got to see him be really, really great before he started to break down. It hurts, man. It hurts, man. He's my guy. I have golf clubs because of Tiger Woods. Not because I want to be like him, but he made me watch it and start to want to enjoy it and go out on the links. It's just what made it so much harder for me to come to grips with. Oh, well. That's going to do it for the Sports Flood. Final Four of the Men's coming up later today, starting at 2:30 with the coverage here on The Ump.